Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
So welcome to the New Cyber Frontier. On with me today, I have a guest that is different than some of the ones we've had before. We are doing a couple interviews with some of the younger generation to find out what it is that drives them, what types of things they're looking for, what makes them tick, and how that relates to what we're doing here with the cyber industry. So we have Stephen Luber. He is a senior. He just graduated this year from Mercyhurst University in Pennsylvania. Stephen, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. Thanks for joining today.
Yeah, no problem. It's glad to be here.
Well, I would like to know some things from someone like your age. First of all, give us your background. How'd you grow up? What did you like in high school, and what made you choose a career in intelligence? And what exactly is your major, I guess, too?
Yeah, it's the intelligence studies program from Mercyhurst University. I wound up doing a double major there with Russian and intelligence studies. As far as like the high school and that kind of background, I guess I always kind of was like the nerdy kind of kid. I always like trying like to pick things apart, try to figure out how they work. And I guess like the intelligence program was just like figuring out how the world works. So it's sort of like, you know, you would take apart machines and things like that when you were a kid. Now it's kind of like trying to pick apart like the international system and try to figure out how things work with that. And I guess like cyber is always kind of like an underlying theme, because like no matter like which areas you looked into, cyber is more and more dominating pretty much every field of interaction people are getting involved with. And up until a few years ago, it was an area I thought was kind of lacking in my own life. So I wanted to get deeper in there, because technology, it's things we use every day, but very few of us actually know how it actually works on a technical level. So when I started to see opportunities like this, that was things I wanted to try to explore, try to get into.
Yeah. So when you were, did somebody recruit you? Did you just say, hey, this is what I want to do? Did you go looking at other universities? Or did you just kind of fall into that particular thing because you wanted to go to Mercyhurst?
Well, Mercyhurst was actually a recommendation of a family friend. My high school history teacher, of all things, his sister had gone to Mercyhurst way back in the day. And then that was the way I got exposed to the program. And yeah, I did like the regular, like the college recruitment hop kind of a thing. But something about Mercyhurst kept drawing me back in. That made me, there wasn't a whole lot of doubt in my mind about where I'd try to wind up.
Yeah. And Russian studies, the double major, that is interesting. You speak fluently?
As far as like the everyday stuff, yeah, I'd have a hard time trying to explain like technical aspects in Russian. But this past summer, I lived in the Republic of Georgia in Tbilisi and in Batumi, and with a host family that didn't speak English, and we got along fine with Russian that way.
Interesting. Yeah, not a language I've ever even tried to experiment with. So how would you define what you do in cybersecurity? Because, you know, there's so many different facets of it. And, you know, we're looking at making it a whole industry in its own, but it crosses almost every other industry. So where does what you are familiar with, where does it cross? And
I guess it would kind of be like the intersection of like the technological business and national security. So, like, there's things with, like, the Olympic projects that we have going on now that they're, on the one hand, you know, business-oriented, like, nonprofit-oriented, but there's big security implications there as well. And there's, I think, a growing trend is going to be, like, a crossover of people coming from, like, the national security environment and from, like, the strictly business environment working together with areas that intersect like this.
And yeah.
I guess that's where I'm trying to fit in now, is that little niche in between them.
Yeah. Do you have I know you're working right now, you said local there. Where do you see the direction of what you're going to do now that you've graduated?
Just trying to go deeper into the same area, I think. It's going to be like a growing field. Like, this was something I was actually having a conversation with my friend the other day. Like, everything from like the biomedical industry to like the pharmaceutical industry, things like this, there's a cyber component to that as well. Transportation and logistics, the cyber end, so much of it is now dependent on computers that the need for security experts is just going to continue to grow and grow, especially as the technology gets more sophisticated and continues to evolve faster than the experts can tend to keep up with.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Transportation and logistics, the cyber end, so much of it is now dependent on computers that the need for security experts is just going to continue to grow and grow, especially as the technology gets more sophisticated and continues to evolve faster than the experts can tend to keep up with.
Yeah. You don't see yourself going to a government agency, an NSA, Department of Homeland Security, something like that?
Oh, I mean, that's definitely on the table, but like as for like where the industry as a whole seems to be going, it seems like it's most of the innovation is being driven on the private sector side of things more and more. I mean, I don't rule anything out, but for like the short term, like the next 3 to 5 years, I think it's going to be more on the private side.
Yeah. Did you see a lot of support from Mercyhurst or a lot of people, companies reaching out to you saying, recruiting you, trying to get work?
More and more so, yeah. Over the past 2 years, they've been really trying to like to up the cyber side of things, because traditionally they would have like national security track, law enforcement track, or business track. Mm-hmm. Cyber is something that's really been coming into its own like over the past 2 years, trying to hire more specialists to have more courses, things like that. So yeah, for like the students at Mercer's, there's definitely going to be opportunities for you in the next couple of years to come.
Yeah, but you said you're not working in the cyber industry right now. Would you call it cyber?
No, I'd say it's more technical. It's more like the traditional like break stuff apart, try to find the matching components kind of things. I think there's going to be a growing cybersecurity component to it, but for the immediate term, no, I'm not.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going with this whole line of questioning. Do you feel like you had a hard time, or you were particular or wanted to stay in the area? I mean, you didn't jump into a cyber career right away. What was the difficult level of trying to find a job at your age?
Well, I think it's mostly a learning curve thing. Like the actual cyber stuff's only been something I've been getting into more recently. Mm-hmm. So I think right now it's on more of like the skill set development side of things. Now it's trying to get like some like the ethical hacker like type certifications. I don't have the I don't know about like the requisite experience yet, but that's like the skill set is something I'm trying to develop now.
So the companies that you're looking at, you're interviewing or whatever, are looking for the certificates, even though you have a degree.
Yeah, because it's more like the practical skill set kind of things. Like, there's a difference between like the theoretical applications versus like the actual. You know, this is a certification that like experts that we know and we trust have worked with, mm-hmm. Kind of things, and that tends to be valued higher, I would say.
Huh. So, do you wish sometimes that just 3 years ago you just started on a technical certification and went to work?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if I would have developed like the same interest the same way I would have had I not gone about the road that I did. But if I think like some of the younger students, if they could find a way of doing it concurrently or working at it at the same time, that if there's a way to do that, I would recommend it for them.
Yeah, did they offer that at Mercyhurst or things like that?
At the time I was there, no. You would have had to go on your own to do that kind of a thing.
Okay, so that might be a good thing as the universities start offering them in conjunction to get the on-the-ground experience as well as the theoretical, huh?
Yeah, and I think there's already some moves in that direction. I know they just started like a 4-year plus one like grad program with data science now that some of the intelligence majors can get into. For like it'd be basically 3 years of intelligence, 2 years of data science for those that are trying to like work at that in that direction more.
Okay, so if you were looking and you had multiple kind of job opportunities all over, you know, different places in the world, what would attract you to a certain area versus another?
I mean, I'm hesitant to say like quality of life, but basically, you know, like a good like work that you would find interesting over the long run, a little flexibility with being able to travel, like some to be on the road for a bit, I think is something that would be a big attraction right now. But I mean, at this stage of life, I don't really think I'm entitled to be too picky with that kind of thing.
What if you had your choice to go to any place, live any place you've been, experienced, what would be your choice?
Well, I lived previously in the Republic of Georgia in the Caucasus, and that's a place I'd really like to get back to again. They're just barely beginning to get onto like the cyber side of things now. When I was there, they had a lot of experts from Germany, from Estonia, places like that, trying to get like some of the basic IT stuff together. Mm-hmm. I think like that kind of a transitioning economy would be a good place to go, because there's a lot of opportunity for growth, and it's still just in the very beginning stages.
Yeah. You know, I interviewed another young fellow that was on a... like a world almost, almost like a mission trip, but it was for business, and he was doing in Cambodia. But he really loved kind of the international, the reaching out, the becoming, you know, part of the world community. Is that something of value to you?
Yeah, I think so, especially because that's the way the world economy seems to be going. Like, there seems to be like a lot of those adventurer entrepreneur types that, in, you know, between like Southeast Asia, parts of Latin America, parts of the former Soviet Union, that tends to attract like these kinds of personalities. I think that's a very good area to look into.
Yeah. So what is it that is attracting you more overseas than places in the United States?
I think just it's a little bit easier to get into. There's more opportunity, I would think, for somebody that's just starting out with it. Whereas the United States is kind of like an established business environment, more or less. Everything tends to be well-developed. There's more potential for growth elsewhere, I think, at this stage,
And you're not worried about somewhat of the shaky economies, the governmental structures, things that might not be as steady? Is that a fear thing?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of the game. I mean, as somebody that was on probably the worst end of the 2008 recession, you know, you don't really have like illusions that things are going to be prosperous forever, but... It's just, I mean, the potential for risk and the potential for yield always seems to go together, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So this is interesting, because I haven't talked to too many people that have said, wow, this is something I like overseas, other than, you know, a couple of almost philanthropical type of endeavors or whatever. But if I were to say, you know, we have a big effort for in Colorado Springs for cybersecurity, and we're putting things together that might attract people your age to want to come live here, what would those things be? What would you recommend to the people that are maybe have the power to put something together that would say, this is what makes it appealing for our youth to come to Colorado?
I would say probably like try to like forecast like some of like the specific opportunities, like show like this is the actual kind of like work you can be involved with. You're not just gonna try to like show like that you can actually get involved in a level greater than wherever you are at any given time. Like, I think Colorado, like, there's more, there'd be, trying to think of how you could express it, like forecast, like, the actual, like, opportunities that you would have there vis-a-vis wherever you're established now. Like, with Colorado, I know there's, like, it seems to be, like, a more of an entrepreneurial wave compared to, like, other places. Just, like, try to, like, showcase, like, some of, like, the concrete opportunities you can get involved with vis-a-vis wherever you're at now.
Yeah. Do you see yourself more as an entrepreneur heading down your own path, or aligning with an organization that would be more stable?
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, for the short term, it's more of a learning curve, I would say. I guess it would depend, like, once I got a few more years' experience, if, like, there's a company with, like, a good model that I think I could stay with for a long time, then, yeah, absolutely. I think it's too early to be ruling anything out, really.
Yeah. So what if you look at your life and say, hey, there's things that I worry about, things that concern me, my biggest angst, fears, what would, you know, about the future, about the present, what would those be?
I mean, to an extent, like, there's always a bit of a fear of the unknown, but I think it's just a matter of, like, once you've had some life experience, you know you can adapt to change, like, you're confident about that. It's, I guess, just, like, not knowing exactly what's going to come down the way, but you can sort of mitigate that by just sort of preparing yourself as best you can and hoping for the best. I mean, there's no sense in overstressing about things you can't control anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, some of my reading with, like, Marcus Aurelius and, like, those kinds of Stoic philosophers has really shaped my outlook with that. Just focus on the things that you can do, develop yourself as best you can, and whatever comes, let it come. You're just going to have to, you'll react the best way you can to it.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So do you think that resonates in your generation, or are you kind of unique in that?
Well, I mean, I think it's starting to resonate more and more because, I mean, the days where you would just go into, like my grandfather's generation or my father's generation, you'd show up to work in one company, you'd be there for, you know, 40, 50 years, and you could retire at the same place. Mm-hmm. Those days seem to be more or less gone. I don't think I've ever met somebody that was actually expecting to be able to do, like, a 40-year career track in one place outside of government. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, a greater element of change is sort of expected now vis-a-vis where it was a few generations ago. Whether it be articulated in the same way or not, it's another question. But yeah, I think the overall sense that change is inevitable is definitely resonating more.
Yeah. So what is it that makes you you feel that way? Is it just what you've seen? Do you think that what causes that? Is it companies are not as loyal to employees, or employees get bored too quickly and want to move on? What causes that?
I mean, it could be a number of factors. I think that's just the way, like, the economy itself has moving. Like, there's a greater rise of, like, the startup type culture. There's, especially with, like, the changing technological landscape, it seems like it was driven by more, like, younger entrepreneurs, like, than it has been, like, in previous generations. I'm not sure if you could really, like, put, like, one or, like, your finger on, like, one or two causes. That just seems to be the way the world is structured now. It seems to be much more decentralized in that way.
Anything that you think that would help people who are organizing an effort in a local area to attract people of your age to be excited to come there, what advice would you give?
Again, like, sort of like showcase, like, the actual specific things you can get involved with. Make it seem like more, like, trying to think of a way to say, like show, like, the actual, like, tangible ways you can get involved vis-a-vis, like, other things you could be getting into. Like, showcase, like, the specific problems that you're facing, the ways you can actually get involved and actually help out in those matters. I think, like, showing something, like, concrete would make a big difference for most people.
Yeah. So something where you're impacting, you're working more towards, I can impact the world, impact something, than just make money for a job that I might not totally enjoy.
I mean, I don't know about even making a change in the world, but just, like, something that'd be meaningful, even if it is just in the local area, I think that tends to go a long way.
Yeah. What would you consider meaningful?
That's another good question. Like, something that's, you know, it's slightly more than just collecting a paycheck every day. It's like, if you can actually find a way, like, you're actually making a concrete benefit, like, effort for your community or for, like, even some, just a few people around you. In addition to, like, a good quality of life, I think that would be a way to attract some people.
Yeah. What do you say if you know, cybersecurity really is in its infancy right now, and a project or an organization process that said, you know, this is going to impact the whole world and make everybody's life better. We're designing maybe even an Internet 2.0 that from the ground up has a look into cybersecurity, and that really impacts the whole world. Is that the type of thing that would compel you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be something that could attract a lot of people. I mean, I think people tend to be skeptical when you hear, like, phrases like, you're going to change the world kind of a thing. But, you know, if you can, like, even if it's, like, a small, like, localized area, like, somewhere where you could actually, like, your individual effort could come across as something that would have, like, a concrete benefit, I think that could help.
Yeah. Have you felt that attachment with the sports ISAO project you've been working on?
Yeah, I think because it's like a specific project and there's, like, specific things that you're working on. I'm not sure, like, to what extent we could bring that up on the podcast, but yeah. The fact that it's like a specific project, it's like something that's, it's not just like this vague, like, you know, help the world kind of thing, but, you know, it's like you could see where your actual work is paying off it versus, like, other projects I've worked on where it's less tangible, I would say.
You know, that's interesting because and you said, well, I don't know how much we can talk about. That's one of the things that resonates across the cyber industry is there's so much secret sauce and privacy because you're really if you're in that line of work, you're in the core of somebody's business, some organization's back-end process. And the ability to be able to be out front with that is a lot of times minimal. So, and that's why I'm asking what engages people, because if it is a secretive industry and we, you know, a lot of people can't talk about it, how do you make that excitement?
I mean, I would tell people, like, once you actually get in for like the first project or two, and you actually, even if you can't tell like most of your friends or neighbors about what you're doing, even like with just your coworkers, the fact that you can see the results of what you're doing, I think that goes a long way. If you like, if you're willing to just like take the leap of faith with just like the initial project to get in on it, and once you get in, there's really no doubt in your mind that the way you're doing is important.
Yeah. So what do you tell people when they ask you what you do? How do you explain that?
I mean, I try to dodge the question as much as possible, but no, just say like you're working on like the system security side of things with like certain projects in like Brazil, for example, like, and you don't like go again any more detail than that. It's one of the most cliche things. It's like, I could tell you, but you know, you're going to get in trouble kind of a thing. I try to avoid as many phrases like that as I can, but just, you know, kind of like tongue in cheek, be a little bit vague, I think.
Yeah. Is a lot of that because, you know, you'd have to explain so much that people don't understand. Sometimes you don't bother.
Yeah, because it's like, even if you theoretically could talk about what you're doing, most of the people aren't going to understand it anyway. So it's like, you try to use terms that they could understand, but just with like the realization that it's not going to be an easy conversation most of the time.
Do you think it's an understanding or an interesting? You think there's just so many people that just aren't interested?
I mean, it tends to go together. I think, I'm not really sure if it's like an either or kind of thing. It tends to be like an and but kind of question, I think.
I've struggled with that for years. I know exactly what you're talking about. A lot of people I've heard say, well, yeah, he works with computers when they're describing me. He does something with computers, and like, I'd leave it at that.
Yeah, so like smile, nod, okay.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. Well, hey, great talking to you. I'm glad to have input from people your age. What's your favorite thing if you live in an area? What's your favorite thing to do?
I mean, with me personally, I like to see like sort of like the historical sites around the area. I think that's not really something that you might expect a computer guy to say, but you know, just sort of get out and explore a little bit, like get to know like your area as much as possible. Even if like you are in like sort of like the middle of nowhere, there's usually a lot more interesting things going on in the background that most people don't realize.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for joining today. Definitely interesting talking to you, and I love to hear input from the younger generation as to what engages them, because so often we're having trouble with that engagement. Do you do any hackathons or things like that? Do you go to any conventions or groups for, are you involved in any groups for cyber?
Not any groups since I left school. At Mercer's, I was involved in what's called CTRIC, the Cyber Threat Research and Analysis Club, which is exactly what it sounds like. But as far as like the hackathons, I haven't been involved since I've been out of school the past couple of months.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining today, and you have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.